Let the speech of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. All around the Western Christian world, including in our church, people wonder why it's so hard to grow the church. Most Western churches are declining, often steeply. In the new church, we might think it would be easy to grow the church, since we have such wonderful teachings in the heavenly doctrine, clarifying who God is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he is like, and what the life after death is like, and why it is that way. We have been given a wonderful exposition of the spiritual sense that is within the stories of the Word. The Lord teaches us the laws of his providence by which he leads us. He shows us that marriage is most holy and has the greatest uses, and many more wonderful truths. Yet, it is not easy to draw people into the new church, and even our own children, when they grow up, do not always choose the new church for themselves in faith and life. In the story of Noah, in its spiritual sense, the Lord shows us some of the reasons why it's not easy for the new church to take hold and grow in the Christian world, and what we can do. To begin at the beginning, God is love. So he creates human beings whom he can love and who can freely choose to love him in return. Then he can be close to them and they to him, and he can make them very happy. Therefore, as soon as God created human beings on this planet, he immediately began to teach them about himself and about eternal life, and to lead them to himself. All those who were willing to be taught and led became the first church on this earth. A church is a human being and also a group of people who love the Lord and have faith in him. The Lord raised up the most ancient church, whose time was called the Golden Age. Adam and Eve are symbolic figures who represent the first church on this planet, and their blessed state is represented by life in the beautiful Garden of Eden. But everything in this natural world has its life cycle. Every day moves from morning to noon to evening to night, before a new day can begin. Every year moves from spring to summer to autumn to winter, and then to a new spring. We human beings grow from infancy to childhood to adulthood to old age before we can be raised into eternal life. It is the same with churches. Eventually, some of the people of later generations of the first church on earth began to turn away from the Lord. The spiritual morning and springtime declined toward night and winter. They began to claim as their own the blessed state the Lord was giving them. They took credit for the beautiful loves, such as true love in marriage and love toward the neighbor, and for the wise perceptions of truth that they were receiving from the Lord. They listened to the serpent that said, "You will be as gods, knowing good and evil, apart from the Lord, our Father and our teacher." Over time, this first church declined as more began to follow the serpent rather than the Lord. Eventually, it reached its end when it was no longer a church. In Genesis 6, we read, "And Yehovah saw that the evil of man was multiplied on the earth, and that all the formation of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil all the day. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yehovah." There must always be a true church somewhere on this earth, because by the church there is a joining together of the human race with heaven. We have something in common with angels as long as there are some people on earth who really love the Lord, who know who the Lord is by reading and listening to his word and then living by it keeping his commandments. As long as there is a spiritually healthy church, even if it is only with relatively few people, all the rest of the human race have contact with angels and so can receive love and wisdom from the Lord out of heaven. The church that reads and lives by the Lord's word is like the heart and lungs in the human body. Gentiles, decent people all over the world who do not have the word and therefore do not know who God is very clearly, are like all the other useful parts of the human body which receive life by way of the heart and lungs. Whenever a church grows old and is about to die, the Lord raises up a new church on the earth. In Genesis, that's what the story of Noah is about. The flood depicts the end of the first church, and Noah represents a bridge from the first church to the new church that the Lord raised up at that time. The second church on earth is called in the heavenly doctrine the ancient church. It was the silver age in the life of mankind. When it's time to begin a new church, the Lord starts by gathering the remnant of good people from the former church who are willing and able to be a nucleus or starting point for the new church. These good people preserve and hand on the word from the former church to the new church. In Genesis, Noah represents this nucleus, and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, represent the beginnings of the new church itself, the ancient church. Here is a key point for today. A new church does not flourish among the people where an old church has just died. Instead, it needs to be transferred to other people who are Gentiles, that is, who have not had the word before. In the literal sense, Shem, Ham, and Japheth are Noah's sons. This is because they represent people who inherited the wisdom passed down to them by way of the people named Noah. But genetically and culturally, Shem, Ham, and Japheth were quite different from the people symbolized by Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth represent Gentile peoples who received the word through the people meant by Noah. We can see the point that a new church does not arise among the people with whom the church has just fallen in relation to the founding of the Christian church. When the Jewish church was coming to an end, the Lord himself came into the world to raise up a new church, the Christian church. He gathered together a number of good Jews who were willing to receive the gospel, the wonderful news that the Lord himself had come into the world to save us, to teach us to repent, and to lead us to heaven. But most of the Jews did not accept him or receive his message. The new Christian church really took off among the Gentile nations of Europe, among people like the Roman centurion, who had not hardened themselves against the Old Testament word. They were willing to receive the word and believe the gospel of the Lord's coming. They were willing to repent of their sins and live a life of charity or love toward the neighbor. It was similar at the time of Noah. The group called Noah were like the apostles, Joseph and Mary, Simeon, and a relatively few other good Jews who formed the nucleus or starting point for the new Christian church. Swedenborg saw the group called Noah represented in the spiritual world as a tall, slim man dressed in white in a narrow room. The narrow room, he was told, represented that this group were few in number. It is easy to see why a new church is not well received by the people among whom the former church is coming to its end. The people of an old church think they have heard it all before. They pass on to their children by heredity and by environment a disposition not to be interested in what the Lord has to say. It is not a fertile field for the planting of the truth. But to Gentiles, on the other hand, the Lord's word is all fresh and new. There is an innocence and a humility in their ignorance, as there is with little children. Now perhaps we can see why it is not so easy for the new church to grow in the post-Christian world in which we live. This is a useful thing to understand so that we have realistic expectations for the growth of the new church in our communities and even in our families, and so that we do not have an undue sense of failure if the church does not grow as we hope. This does not mean that we should not work for the growth of the new church. To the contrary, it means that we must work harder. How? Above all, by being a church ourselves, individually and together, by loving the Lord and keeping His commandments, loving one another as He has loved us, and reading and listening to His word at church, at classes, and at home. Second, we have an opportunity to teach our children the stories and teachings of the Word and of the heavenly doctrine. We should make the best use of the innocent, Gentile-like states of our children to help them receive as many affections for the wonderful stories of the Word and the beautiful ideals of the heavenly doctrine as they can receive. Then, as they become adults, they will be equipped to make a free and rational decision to follow the Lord in their lives. Third, we should share the Lord's teachings wherever we can to support our fellow Christians in holding on to the Christian beliefs and values they still retain, despite our secularizing culture. Where we have an opportunity, we should not be shy about sharing what the Lord has taught us that provides meaning, guidance, and comfort to us. We should remember that sharing the heavenly doctrine is not about us, but about the Lord in His second coming. Fourth, it is good for us to come to church as regularly as we can, so that when a visitor comes, he meets more people among whom he or she may find friends with common interests. We should think of coming to church not primarily for our own sakes or even for our children, but above all for the sake of the Lord's kingdom on earth and in the heavens. The new church in our former Christian world will be a small community, and yet the heavens will rest upon it and maintain their association with our earth by means of it until the new church grows to fullness among Gentiles. We should do our part by reading the Word and living by it, consoling one another in the church's difficulties, and celebrating its increase. We all need each other. Comparing ourselves to Noah and to the first Jewish Christians, our job is to be a kind of bridge to the time when the new church will flourish. To be a good bridge or starting point for the new church, we must preserve and publish the heavenly doctrine so that it can be readily shared with people in other parts of the world who may receive it much more eagerly than most Western Christians will. The Lord has provided for the development of the internet and related tools to make it easier than ever before to share the gospel of the Lord's second coming. And Gentiles are finding the heavenly doctrine all over the world. Coming back to the beginning, the Lord is love itself. He is always urging and pressing us to receive Him. He loves the tiny Kempton New Church and school, and He loves each of us and our children. He provides us with wonderful opportunities to be of use in all areas of life. Let us thank the Lord for the chances to work in His vineyard and to become His good servants, and trust that He is establishing His new church on the earth at the right time with each one of us, as much as we are willing to receive Him. Amen. And now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.